two best friends who love to chat. Oh, what it's like to be an ant. Those who ant. Those who ant.
Hello, and welcome to Those Who Ant, the podcast that helps you see the world through ant-colored glasses. My name is Aunt Pat.
And I'm Auntie Mags.
Oh, Mags. Hello. How are you? Welcome to a new month. What's going on? Tell me everything.
Thank you. I'm doing well. I got to tell you something. You know how sometimes you're just listening to a song and you hear the words differently?
Yeah. Sometimes I don't know the words at all, it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember when you thought that song Two of Hearts was Two Hot Hearts?
I still think that it probably is.
Nope, one of us two is Two of Hearts.
Okay. Well, I think there's probably a version that's Two Hot Hearts based on where you're at in the regions of the country. You know, like when some things are named differently because you're in Ohio rather than, you know, another state.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was listening to, you know, that song, I Saw Her Standing There. You know that one?
Oh, yeah. That's all that happens, right? See her. Okay.
Okay. So listen, one day I'm just in my kitchen, right? I'm tidying up, got music playing. And I hear for the first time in my life, the song the way it was meant to be heard, which is the first line of the song is she was just 17 and you know what I mean.
Oh, you know what I mean.
Perverts. And then it got me thinking.
Wait, what? Is that what it means?
Yeah, because if somebody is just 17, that means they were just recently 16, okay? They just turned. And then, you know what I mean, implies the man's older, right? He's above 18. He's older than 18, because nobody who's 18 is like, yeah, she's just 17, you know what I mean?
Oh.
So then I started thinking, you remember the song Chantilly Lace?
Oh, and A Pretty Face.
Mm-hmm. And a ponytail hanging down.
Yeah, and going round and round.
And it giggle when you talk. It makes the world go. That's these guys were all perverts. I looked up.
How old was she?
I mean, he's talking about her wearing like little socks and stuff, like Bobby socks. This girl was a child. And the Big Bopper, rest his soul, was a pervert.
Was that his name? Big Bopper?
Big Bopper.
Because we should have seen that coming. To be fair, he called himself the Big Bopper. And I couldn't put a pin in what that means exactly, but it's not good. Sounds like when someone knocks on your door and they're like, hello, I'm a pedophile. I just moved here. That person could just knock on your door and say, hello, I'm the Big Bopper. Message received.
And we'd all know. Yeah, exactly. You know who else was technically a kiddie fiddler? Elvis Aaron Presley.
Is that right? Because,
yeah.
Is he related to the regular Elvis Presley?
It's the same one.
Oh.
And it was, yeah. And but here's the thing. Priscilla was like 13 or something when they met, 14. And he was a full grown man.
Wait, isn't that like that one Lewis? Didn't he marry someone when they were 14?
Jerry Lee Lewis married his young cousin.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm telling you, everybody we loved is a huge, huge pervert. Well, except for Bing Crosby, who I believe was a wife beater.
Okay. And we don't know anything about his wife.
That's what we're learning, right? My nieces and nephews are telling me all the time, we got to learn to get rid of the patriarchy that's in our head.
Yeah, it sounds like the patriarchy is something that they would do. You know, when people say you got to unlearn things, I don't remember learning any of this, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I do have to unlearn it or just go through deprogramming or something, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know who someone I hope never gets deprogrammed because they're perfect the way that they are?
I bet I do.
Well, wait till everyone finds out, because I would like to welcome to the podcast a very dear friend, Uncle Doug. Uncle Doug, welcome.
Hey, great to be here. Great to be here, ladies. Oh, so exciting. What a beautiful day it is outside.
We're so happy to have you.
I'm thrilled. Now, Doug, I don't know. I'm assuming you fall on the right side of history with this, but did you know that there were so many perverts and stuff? Is that something that men just know and they're all like, ugh, another one, another one is happening?
You know, it's interesting. My father was not a pervert, but he was an eccentric, and he collected the artwork of perverts. It was kind of like the way some people collect prisoners' artwork or convicts. Like you'll buy a Ted Kaczynski watercolor, or you'll buy a John Wayne Gacy, maybe a Voss. My father had a wall of perv art that sounds like it would be sexual, but it's not. It's, you know, perverts that draw, unfortunately, very beautiful artwork. I don't believe in separating the art from the pervert, but it's hard not to admire the way they were able to capture the realistic elements of nature despite being horrible, horrible men.
Yeah, that's odd, right? Because I am somebody who does want to separate the art from the artist all the time, or the art from the pervert, as you said, which is why I've never liked Woody Allen. I've made it no secret. You know, but it's tricky, right? Because every once in a while you catch yourself and you hear the way you make me feel. And then before you know what it's like, as soon as you just turn on your radio in the car and you hear like, hey, pretty baby with the high heels on. And you're like, yes. And then you're like, oh, no.
And even now with you singing, I know you're not a pervert, but you singing those words and I'm starting to nod my head and I'm wondering, am I part of the problem? Am I in the equation? Am I a problematic figure in the equation? Am I a variable or what am I in this equation?
Yeah, it's hard to know. You know, you said something also fascinating because I do want to talk a little bit about this because I don't know enough. Pervert.
Was it the phrase wall of perverts? Oh, pervert.
Yeah, pervert. Yeah. And I was like, wow, is that something? Because it sounds like a rehabilitation program. Now, I don't know if the perverts, are they making art just independently of that? Or is this something that rehabilitates the soul of a pervert called pervert, where they're making like colored, you know, sand, when you put colored sand in a jar at the mall?
Yes.
Doug, is it separate or is it, what is it?
Well, and again, and I unfortunately do know way more about this than I really feel like anyone should. My father separated his wall of pervert into periods in the pervert's lives. So we had, you know, art they may have done as a teenager, art they may have done in their early 20s before any of the allegations and instances and occurrences had happened. Then we will have what he called the middle section, like any good museum, where they're right in the middle of perving and creating. They're painting and perving. They're drawing and perving. They're sketching and scumming. And then we have what you were describing, the end period of it, which is simply a period of time where they maybe were trying to rehabilitate, whether they felt that in their soul that they needed to change, or whether their agents or managers were saying, hey, Jerry, a little less tickle, tickle, a little more paint, paint. Okay. We need you to stop. We need you to maybe date someone in your age range. We need the optics got to, one way or another, the optics got to change, because right now we're not selling records. We're not doing concerts. And I'm pretty sure the FBI has got your house bugged. So we are able to differentiate that, or were rather, all of the art was tragically lost in a fire about 25 years ago. But for the time that it was up, we were able to differentiate the points in the lives of the perverts. And I don't know if that's beautiful or absolutely awful, but it's definitely something that did happen.
Either way, I guess you're moved by it.
Yeah, for sure. There were people that wouldn't even come in our house. That was tough for my dad, because like I said, he wasn't a pervert, but he was eccentric.
Has this been investigated? Because the fire, it sounds like, did somebody set your house on fire?
We don't know. Everybody's got their theories. I come from a pretty big family. Many people inside the house were not happy with the wall. A lot of people, not going to cast aspersions or plant flags in anyone's territories. My mother was deeply against it. Why do you have this wall? This was the kids' college money. Robbie needs an operation. Now we got another painting of a pervert here, and he's still got the growth on his kneecap. How are we making these decisions? How are we making these decisions?
So she was still saying we, even though it sounds like it was your dad.
Right. Well, and that's just Irish Catholicism for you. You know, it becomes a, you go on a knee, you propose, and you become a we. You take a knee, you become a we.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And I feel very bad about saying this, but that actually was on a painting on the wall of perverts that was done by R. Kelly. It was an R. Kelly. I think, what do they call it? A mosaic. It was a mosaic with that quote. And I hate quoting him. I hate the man. I hate quoting him. But if you saw the mosaic, you would pause.
So your dad did pick it up again after the fire, got some R. Kelly artwork?
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah, I did. I want to say this was, again, and I am by no means an R. Kelly expert, fan, or connoisseur. I do believe R. Kelly was creating, I think the work.
Yeah, what year did Bump and Grind come out?
81, 82, it could be 92, I'm not sure.
It's hard to tell. God, can anyone name a year?
I can name any year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
1976.
Bingo.
Okay, well, that was the bicentennial, so good job. Art Kelly. Art Kelly, right?
That was the name of the website that he bought it from, Art Kelly. ArtKelly.gov, which was weird to me that it was connected to a government. But, you know, I guess everybody's got to make their money.
Okay, what if I told you guys that I just texted my niece to see and asked her what year did R. Kelly come out with Bump and Grind? What if I told you it was 1993?
Oh, chills. I got chills. It just gave me chills.
Yeah, I don't feel good either.
27 years ago. I wish it had never happened, to be honest with you. I wish that the year that it came out was the year 0000, because that awful bastard never existed.
Yeah, I see something very wrong with a little bump and grind. And peeing all of a sudden takes on a very negative turn.
And by the way, just point of order, if your mind is telling you no, then just stop.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like that's the same thing as she was just 17.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just the first line of the song. My mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes.
What's going on with these jabronis getting all these mental reminders that they shouldn't be doing it? And then they're saying, but I don't want to stop because I'm a big famous man. Why do I got to stop? You know, they didn't make King Solomon stop when he was in the Bible. He got to do whatever he wanted. So maybe I don't have to because I'm a singer.
Yeah. Which one is the one from the Bible that his daughters didn't want him to cheat on his wife, so they just had sex with him?
Oh.
Which one is that one?
I want to say that one. It definitely starts with a vowel, but I don't know which one. It's like
maybe that's a good
an Ephraim or something like that.
I wouldn't know it if you said it. I just know that's one of the stories.
Is this in the Catholic Bible?
I think it's in a Jewish one.
Okay. Well, you know what? And that's fine. You know what? God bless everybody for whatever they believe and until it becomes, you know, an issue for everybody else. But, you know, I was going to say all these men saying, well, this is going to happen. And I know that it shouldn't, but here we go. I feel like women's songs are all, I know it shouldn't happen and I didn't do it. And I somehow got punished for not doing the bad thing that I was never supposed to do. Is that, does that sound about right? Like Dolly Parton. I just saw that movie on TV about her. And I felt like all she did was apologize.
9 to 5?
Yeah, 9 to 5. And from all day, it seemed from 9 all the way to 5, she was apologizing or saying like, excuse me, I know how big, pardon me, my boobs are. And hear all these men's songs that are like, here it comes. I'm throbbing.
Yeah, no doubt. It's certainly something I hope is addressed in this next generation. I don't understand them, but I get that they're much more forthright about right and wrong. And, you know, you goof up, you get called out on it. You goof up, flag on the field, time to do some penalizing. And I don't think that's wrong. You know, these kids, they take a lot of flack, but I like it. You know, accountability. What's in the bank account is what you can spend, okay? No more moral bankruptcy, taking loans from the karmic banks. I'm getting a little mystical here with karma and banks and things like that.
Ooh, mystical. That was a rapper from the 90s.
Danger!
That's the same thing. He knows danger's coming, but whatever happens next in the song, he still did it, right?
And if I'm not mistaken, and not a connoisseur of perverts, Mystical, I believe, held a gun to a woman's head once. So I don't know if he made art, but he did. He does seem like a bad person. Maybe not now, but definitely in 1998 or
1998. There you go again.
Oh, that reminds me of one of my favorite rap groups of all time, Naughty by Nature.
Yes. And I don't really have a lot of currency on their misdeeds.
Oh, I'll tell you right now, Tretch cheated on Peppa. Anybody knows me knows I love salt and pepper so much.
Yes.
And Tretch and Peppa were like the item, right? In fact, he was in the What a Man video during the Very Necessary Years. And then he cheated, on her.
Well, he's naughty by nature. See, they did it in the title. They said, watch this. Well, I told you right up front, I'm the big bopper. I'm naughty by nature. I'm Art Kelly, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's true, because their biggest song was OPP, which is, as you know this about me, Pat, a song I do at karaoke without looking at the screens.
Wow. Off the dome?
Off the dome. And they say it. They say it right in the song. O is for other, P is for people, scratch your temple. The last P, well, that's not that simple, huh? It's sort of like, well, another way to call a cat a kitten. It's 5 little letters that are missing, yeah? You get it on occasion if the other party isn't gaming.
When she does this at a karaoke night, one, I can't keep up. You know, I don't know what the third P is, and I don't think that I should because I'll abuse it. But she really, Doug, some night when all this is over, we need to go. Because she gets up there, and no one is expecting this from Mags. And she launches into this. And a lot of people who are younger don't even know what's happening.
I'll tell you what. You guys just took me back to foam parties in the early 2000s, late 90s. I pictured myself at a foam party with something called like a drink called a blue motorcycle or liquid cocaine or something like that. Ooh. And I'm up there and I see you singing, not looking at the screen, and God, it makes me feel 31 again, you know, right? Right at the, you know, when you're just sowing your oats, you don't have it all figured out.
Yeah, that was, I think, the median age of people at foam parties was 31.
Yeah, to my knowledge, you didn't dip below the 30. The 29, you probably don't want all that foam on you. 40, who has time for it?
One time I was at a party that I wasn't, I shouldn't have gone to, and I technically wasn't invited to. Mm. And they had foam, but they also had a big pool, like a big, like a playpen or something big. And it was full of styrofoam peanuts, and one got into my mouth and I swallowed it. I didn't know anything about styrofoam at that time. And I thought, this is it. This is what the penance is for going to this party. You swallowed the peanut. And I can't even believe I got it down because it was a regular size styrofoam peanut.
Was it whole?
I didn't chew it because I didn't want it to go in there. I must have been screaming, you know, screaming because it was loud. And people, you know, tossing up the peanuts and everything. And like, that was a part of the party, which can you even, what were we doing? And my mouth was wide open. It flew right in there. And down my throat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even remember passing it.
Can you pass
God,
a
it's
peanut?
Like gum.
How long does it take to pass a packing peanut?
I don't know.
That sounds like a tongue twister, though. I know that's a scary thing for you, but yeah. Passing a packing peanut.
Please, pass a packing peanut.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I wish I'd had this attitude about it when it happened, because I was very worried.
I'm glad we can maybe have a little whimsy on top of the trauma. That's the best way to take it down, I think. You have the trauma, you recognize it, you put it on the plate, a dollop of whimsy on top of it, and then you can learn from it. Because when it's just there, bare, without any dressing, it's too hard, it's too raw, it's too painful.
This reminds me.
A dollop of whimsy. What a way with words. What does it remind you of, Pat?
How we all met. Hearing you speak like that, you know. Do you mind, Doug, telling everybody how we met? Because, boy, wait till people hear.
Sure. About 6-7 years ago, I started a emotional support group called Cry Uncle for basically uncles that, you know, let's face it, uncles are fun. Uncles are the life of the party. Uncles bring treats and trinkets from CVS and Walgreens with zero planning and zero input from the parents. But at some point, the party ends. At some point, the party's over. You're asked to leave. You're maybe offered, you can crash on the couch if you'd like, but we don't want you driving if you've had too many Jenny Lights. But for the most part, you're asked to leave. And when that happens, where do you go? Do you go home to your studio apartment? Do you look at all the past due bills? Do you feel like, why haven't I figured this out? My rocket ship never launched. Where are my children? Where is my white picket fence? Where is my wife? In that order. And then you meet with the other guys at Cry Uncle. You talk it out. What were we missing? Woman's input. I had happened to hear about you guys. I knew you were big on the ant scene. They said, these are can't miss ants. And I said, well, I got to have him here. I got to have him speak to the fellas. And so you guys were nice enough. You ladies were nice enough to come on out. And I guess it was a bit of a variety show what you did. It was 45 minutes, but I would hesitate to define it as anything in a genre. I wouldn't want to pigeonhole it. But let's just say that you made a big impact on the fellas. And we all learned a lot that day. And I really appreciate it.
Well, just to say that I don't think that Megs and I knew that we would be presenting. So the fact that it became a diaspora of things is not surprising. But, you know, we could riff off of each other.
We could go for days.
And honestly, we would have let you, but, you know, we had to get out of there because the next group was coming in. And that's just a close-up magic workshop that a guy runs. And I'm like, these are people working through stuff. Magic Dan, you don't need to do this. You can postpone, or let's do this over a Zoom or whatever. And unfortunately, we did have to go, though, because they were doing that thing where you flick a business card out from nowhere. It's all hot on the WandaVision now. I'm throwing out words that maybe they don't make sense, but maybe they do. And
I've watched all of WandaVision and fully understand all of it, and I have from the beginning.
It's a real hot moment. The guy flicks a business card, and I don't want to get off topic here, but let's just for a moment respect the fact that cameras were rolling, lights guys got lights shining, sound guys got sounds of booming, and he nailed it. And I assume on the first take, I don't know how movies work, but it seems to me like something you get once and you say, let's move on and get the other stuff. So, I mean, just a brief pause to respect the man who flicked a business card out of thin air. And back to what we were saying. I apologize for that tangent. I do go on them from time to time.
No, we please. This is Tangent City. Welcome.
Good to be here.
You know, there's something. Well, we're so honored to have you because, you know, there's something really magical about just the fact that you were a group of uncles who even wanted to hear anything we had to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't tell them what was going to happen either. I said we had a couple gals coming in, and I don't know where their minds went to. Some of these guys are pretty down on their luck, okay? These are guys that are uncles not by choice. These are blood relatives of people that have had children, and they've been kind of forced into the uncle light, and they're not ready for it, and they can't deal with the emotional tax that it puts on a person and the separation or the forced inclusion, the forced, you got to come to the birthday, you got to come to the first communion, Jimmy's got a little league game. These guys aren't ready for it. So when I said, and please don't take this the wrong way, we got a couple fine specimens coming in for a speech, I think the boys were pretty excited about it, regardless of what they thought was going to happen. So
they really seemed to like when Pat and I just started doing Cell Block Tango.
Yeah. And I didn't No, that's what we were doing. But Meg started, and I thought, this is jaunty. And to be honest, I also went along with that because there was a weird energy in the room and a lot of hard stares, you know?
And honestly, and that's on me. I could have got everybody into a much healthier headspace, and I ripped the Band-Aid. I panicked. I didn't know.
I felt like John Cash at that prison.
Yes. And honestly, the threat of a riot was there in the first 5 minutes. There were people they had the donuts, the complimentary donuts in their hands. I didn't know if they were for chucking or chewing. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Take a bite or let it take flight, as I always say.
And I don't know what made me initiate singing a song about women who murder men, but something in me, you know, fight or flight, I think. And I just, you know, I just thought, I bet we got to do something, you know.
And that wasn't lost on me. I mean, these are guys that are not only down on their luck in terms of being uncles, but also, let's be honest, not a lot of them are in happy relationships, you know, or relationships at all. The ones that are, you know, they tend to be very short-lived, very intense. I think what they call love bombing. You know, they'll meet someone, the I love you after a week, the let's move in together after 9 to 10 days, let's start sharing Netflix passwords, and before you know it, you know, it's like they get their heart stomped on, or they, you know, they get blindsided by the fact that someone may not want 100% of an adult male's attention focused on them 24 hours a day. And so, you know, it's tough for them. And we work on that. We do worksheets. I make up little, what are they called? Dittos. You know, dittos.
Oh, yeah. Dittos. Yeah, dittos.
I guess they're adult dittos that are basically like, here's three examples of what you could say to a gal you just had a great first date on. I had a great time. I'd love to go on another date with you. That's option A. Option B, when I look into your eyes, I see a gateway to a forever paradise I never want to leave. That's option B. Maybe a little too intense. Option C, unfortunately, I can't leave where I am right now because I have a monitor on my ankle. And if I do step outside of this zone, the police will be called. And I believe at this point, I have enough strikes that it's shoot on sight. So you go with that. That's a little more intense. And I'll be honest, to me, that's a no-brainer, okay? It's option A. We're all human. Most people don't pick A, and that's where the group really has to do the work. That's where the clay needs to become the pinch pot.
I think what gets scary there is, you know, one is that love bombing is a very clear-cut symptom of narcissistic personality disorder. Mm. And the other one is that so many of them between the choice of, you know, I want to spend forever, your eyes are a gateway to forever in paradise, or I'm going to be shot on sight if I step outside of my front door. Mm. That so many are choosing B or C.
Yeah.
It's an indicator that, you know, there is a lot of work to be done in that group.
Yeah. And we know. And I always say, if you're looking for a gold medal for finishing the race, this isn't the place for you to be, okay? This is about the journey, and we're nowhere near the finish line yet. So please, everybody, sit down, have a donut, have a coffee, We're going to share, we're going to cry, we're going to laugh, and we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what it takes to be the big you, to be the uncle, you know, to be the best you can be.
Yeah. And we're going to watch these two women, you know, of a certain age do the entire choreography and music of Cell Block Tango. Yeah.
How did I even know it? Boy, it must be muscle memory but I don't know when I flexed that muscle last.
But I'll tell you what. It looked flawless to me. I thought that was ready for prime time. I was ready. I wish, not without telling you guys, but I wish we had cameras rolling, you know, because we did have a problem with that. There was a guy recording everything, and we did. We asked him to leave.
Oh, Frank.
Yeah. Yeah.
He reached out to me after that.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I had to go pick her up at his house. It was one of those things where he asked her to come over for coffee, and Pat is the kindest person alive. And she went there. She didn't even know she did it. She accidentally hit voice record. You know, when you can send a text that's a voice.
I do that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Not she
on
accidentally.
Never on purpose.
Right. She sent me a thing, and I just heard her saying, "Oh no, thank you. I think I better go." And luckily, you know, our phones.
Wow. Yeah.
We have the share my iPhone thing. Uh-huh. Because, you know, we both live alone, so we have a thing that's like, hey, if you don't hear from me, look up where my phone is and call the cops.
Right.
And but I didn't have to call the cops. I just showed up and I knocked on a door. I knocked on his door. She luckily was there.
Yeah, he had all this taffy and he wanted me to eat it. He wanted me to eat this taffy. And I was perplexed because he seems like a nice person. But then he said, you can't leave until you eat some of this taffy. And I thought, oh, my God, what is this?
That's out of bounds. Now, Frank used to be a candy man. So it's in his DNA. He owned a candy shop. But that doesn't excuse it. That doesn't excuse it. And this is the things that we're working on. It's like, yeah, you recognize the past. You were a candy man and you were out there making the world taste good, or however the song goes. We all know it.
But oh, like, gross. Oh, I just realized, was that the lyric? Oh, God. Is that a pervert song?
I hope not. But those days, the candy man, that probably was about heroin or something like that, right? It probably wasn't real candy. The candy.
Ooh, I know, like Mr. Bojangles. That one's about drugs.
It is. I thought it was about a ghost.
Oh, no. Mr. Bojangles, I think, was about drugs.
Oh, man. I got to go back. I'm scared to go back, but I think you got to.
What's the Candyman movie about? Is that about drugs?
This Candyman movie is about a man that you summon by saying his name in the mirror. But
is that the one where you stand in front of the mirror and you say Bloody Mary?
Oh, similar. Those are, I think they call them spiritual sequels because they're similar in theme. But the Candyman was actually a man who was wronged. If you watch Candyman, which I did one time and one time only and never again, it's about a man who was a slave that was murdered. And that's why he's angry. So it's kind of like, murder does not ever excuse other murder, but you get why the guy's a little fired up that he's getting summoned out of a mirror. He's, you know, it's not a good thing for him. It's a weirdly racially poignant movie that I think people just think is a spooky movie, you know, just think it's kind of scary, but it's a deep movie, Candyman, much like the songs we were saying. Yeah.
Wow. I did not know at all. Cause I feel like when I saw that poster for it or whatever, there was tons of bees and I thought, oh, bees love sweet things.
Oh.
I mean, I was definitely freaked out seeing the poster. I thought this looks scary, but I thought it was mostly about bees.
I mean, the bees are, again, you take away the sad stuff, the bees are the other big part of it. The bees are the co-stars. It's Virginia Madsen, I think. It's
I love her.
Tony
Todd is the candy man, and then I think the bees are just a colony of bees. And I don't know if they're Hollywood bees or if they're, you know.
They must be. Kind of union or something, because how would you even keep them? Unless you hire them, they're just going to fly away.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we're thrilled to have you. And Doug, you know, we feel personally victimized by Funkles. And the fact that it was actually Lorraine in the Vannevich's book club that we're part of that recommended us to you. I think part of it was because we were taking up a little bit too much time in the book club talking about being ants, and that's how that transpired. But
yeah,
it was so cathartic to be in a room full of men who are uncles who want to do better. Mm-hmm. And if I had been less scared, you know, I have terrible stage fright. Sure. I think that, you know, it's on looking back on it that I feel so moved by that room of gentlemen who are truly not doing well. Because it almost looked like, we go to a lot of Anons, it looked like, and I mean this with all the love in my heart, because I look this way all the time, it looked like an Anon.
Well, you know, I always like to say, I wanted to call it Cry Uncle Ministries. And I was told by the government, local government, I could not. And also, there's a lot of guys in there that do not respect a higher power. They don't. They're their own bosses. And a lot of that stubbornness is why they are the way they are. And to your point about fun uncles, funcles, yeah, you know, the moniker, it's a little bit, it's a winky, you know, you're a funcle, we don't expect much for you. And that's why I've been working on rebranding some of the guys as respunkles, responsible uncles, respunkles. And I'm hoping that, you know, it doesn't look as good on a T-shirt. But I think what it does is it sends a clear message like, sure, I'm an uncle. I don't biologically have any children. The idea of waking up at 4:30 in the morning to make sure a life form can continue to live on is so abhorrent to me because it gets in the way of my late night adult cartoons. And I don't mean adult again in the pervy way to circle back. I mean animation intended for people 18 or older, your Family Guys, your Simpsons, your South Parks, those type of shows. Anyway, a respunkle is the type of guy that can go pick up a kid from school, okay? Little Lisa needs her allergy shot. A respunkle can take her. A funkle, that allergy shot might turn into a tattoo. I don't know. You can't trust him. He's a funkle. So we're out with the funkles. We're in with the respunkles, if I have any say over it.
Wow. I think that's wonderful because that is part of the thing that Pat and I push back against so hard, which is like, why are we always the ones who have to do everything? Why are we the always responsible party? Well, you know, Pat and I are funts. Mm-hmm. We're fun aunts.
Yeah.
We just want to be funts.
I would love to be able to do more of the fun stuff, you know, mm-hmm. but what happens is because, you know, a lot of times you can't trust the uncle to do the thing, right. You know, so they did all the fun things. So then I get the phone call that's, can you take him for the allergy shot? Mm-hmm. Or can you rub calamine on him? Or, you know, the dog got skunked. Can you come with, bring all your tomato sauce? You know, and that's fine.
That one wasn't even about the kids. That was just Carolyn wanting you to de-skunk the dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did too. It actually got on me, got in my eyes. My eyes smelled like skunk for about 2 months. The dog shook. Anyway, I like to do things for the kids. I do. But sometimes I want to do the fun things with the kids.
And that's fair. Like, it shouldn't always be send Uncle Doug out to get Jimmy fitted for his prom tux, come back with custom-made T-shirts, right? Like, it can't. Sometimes you got to get the kid the tux. Sometimes you got to pick up the prescription. Sometimes you got to, you know, take them out, practice driving. It's not about, you know, we said we're going to go practice driving the Ford Fiesta. We're out on the lake on jet skis. You don't do that. You got to do, you follow through. And that's part of being, that's part of being responsible. That's a responsible uncle. Okay. It's not as fun. Maybe it's not as flashy. Maybe they're not talking about you, you know, to their friends at the local hangouts, but you know what? You're there for them. And when I like to think, God willing, 70, 80 years from now, when they're on their deathbeds, rattling away before the cold embrace of death comes for them, they think, wow, my uncle was there for me. My uncle, he showed up when it counted.
I think that's so beautiful, you know. And I think also, you know, I think part of being somebody who is responsible enough to hang out with kids and care for them is knowing, go get him fitted for his tux. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a minute for that tux to be tailored. Right. Then you go get your T-shirts. While the tailor's working on the tuxedo, then you go get custom tees.
You know what? You're giving me an idea right now, and please don't mistake this for rudeness, but I just got a ditto inspiration from that about a maze, a fun maze we can have the guys do where they got to get to the tux shop and back to the house, and there's all sorts of crazy distractions. There's T-shirts. Maybe there's funnel cakes. Maybe there's the custom coffee mugs that say, you know, the fart champion of the world, pardon my French, you know, but there's just so much you can do with a mug. It's the possibilities are endless now with 3D printers and label makers and the like. And again, I'm off track. I need a maze for myself here, but
I'm not off track. Your brain's creating right now.
Thank you for allowing me to be in the laboratory. And if you don't mind, I'd love to give you co-credit on it. I always credit the Ditto. I actually do a full title page on most of the Ditto. It's a two page stapled together. First page is a title page with all credits and attributions together, a date, a copyright date, and then a legal disclaimer. And then the next page is the ditto. And then there's occasionally an appendix in a third page. It's a lot of paper.
You're putting in the work. And if you credit me, would you also credit Pat? Because, of course, you know, we're a team.
Pat and Mags, of course. Yeah. If you guys, I don't know if you have an LLC or anything, but I'll be happy to fully accredit you for anything, any contribution you have to the Cry Uncle Ministries. I'm sorry, just the Cry Uncle Industries.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that. Well, one, we're not allowed to have an LLC just yet because Pat's still trying to get her identity back. But, but you know, the Cry Uncle Ministries, yeah, did you ever see what that spells out?
Oh, my God, I did not. Oh, that might have been some of the pushback, too, because I went ahead. I got a little crazy, and I made a lot of merch. I made a decent amount of merch, and I'm the type of person that wants the first letter of every word to really stand out. I got to be honest. I hadn't thought of that, and now I get why when I tried to give, you know, my niece and nephew's shirts, my sister, I thought she was just being kind of a snot. And it turns out she might have just been saving them from a lot of mockery.
I like that we can own these things because, Doug, it's like looking in a mirror for you to say, oh, I just saw that. Ah, yeah. I just got it. That happens to me almost every waking moment. It's like Meg saying, this is the title of the song. And I'm thinking, that's not true. And then she'll show me evidence, you know, which is a big part of our relationship is her showing me evidence. But I think real growth for both you, Doug, and myself is saying, okay, I used to really fight it, you know, because it's embarrassing or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I just say, that's part of who I am. It's most of who I am.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I get that. I get the pushback. I used to fight. There used to be people, I would remember them for the misdeeds they did on TV, on a fictional television show. And I would forever hate that person in real life. Timothy Busfield on the show 30-somethings was a real bastard the last couple seasons. And I spent the majority of my adult life hating him before I remembered as an adult that he really didn't do anything wrong. He was just an actor on a TV show. It wasn't like he's not a pervert. He just did he did a good job playing a bad guy. But I really hated him. Kevin Bacon, same thing. I thought Kevin
what?
Bacon
for what? Why would you hate him?
I saw him in the movie The Woodsman, where he plays a pedophile, and Kira Sedgwick, his real life wife, plays his wife in the or his girlfriend in the movie. I think she's a waitress at the restaurant who's nice to him despite his past. But I got icky feelings about Kevin Bacon for years after that. But I was like you. I was like you, Pat. I would say, no, he's a scumbag. And my family would say, you gotta stop yelling. We're outside, we're at a movie theater, we're at a restaurant, you gotta stop shouting. And I would say, no, this guy, look him up. And here's what happened. The age of smartphones really called me out on my inaccuracies. My family could do a quick Google search, go to his Wikipedia, no section under controversies, just personal life, early life, career, footnotes. That's it. There's no section for controversies. The controversies were in my own mind, and I'm getting better at it. I've taken deep breaths. I'm not shouting out in public as much anymore. I rarely shout outside of my own bedroom. Rarely.
You know what's, I want to double back on that one. We're going to follow up on that one. But you know what's fun is that you see in the, you separate the art from the artist. You said at the beginning of the podcast, you said, you know, I don't really separate. You separated the perv art from the perv artist. In the beginning, you were like, no. But now you were like, there's something I don't like about you. Can't put my finger on it. It was their art. So it was their art that was making you not like them as a person. It's the inverse.
All things return to where they once were. It's like a star spreading out into the galaxy infinitely and then collapsing upon itself. Wow.
Also, what are you screaming inside your bedroom?
Oh, you know, for me, it's just a place where I feel safe. And I feel like if I got to get the shouts out, I can do it there. I'm not disturbing anyone. I mean, I live in a townhouse in a what could best be described as an old folks community. I wasn't supposed to get this apartment. Legally, I think you had to be a senior to apply for it. But I have a feeling the leasing agent took pity on me. I basically rolled up with two roller suitcases. I had my car all packed. It was end of the line for me. I was living with three roommates before that. And they were all in their early 20s and me, you know, I'm something else than that. And they were like, hey, man, we got to get you out of here. They said I didn't have the right vibe. I don't even know. What does that mean? What is the right vibe?
I get that a lot, too. You're ruining the vibe or whatever. Like when I went to that party that I swallowed the peanut.
That's not your fault, though. I mean, anybody, Show me one person who hasn't swallowed a peanut by accident before, and I'll show you a liar.
That makes me really sad that nobody was there to help you. I would have reached into your mouth and pulled that right out.
I wish someone, I kind of asked, you know, I walked around. You know those birds that can open the mouth a lot? Oh. I walked around like that for a while, pointing.
Right? We're working on getting a CPR first aid guy to come to the meetings, to the Cry Uncle meetings, because we want to get, first of all, we do tend to have a lot of choking incidents. It's just based on people with atrophied esophaguses and, you know, various levels of substance abuse have withered away the digestive tracts over the years. So for one, it would just be good to have a medical professional there. Yeah, secondary, yeah. I mean, if you could get your first aid CPR certification, you know, that's one more tool in the respunkle belt. You know, it's you could do the sweep, you could do the push, you could do the blow. You know, you could do it all. You don't do the blow. That's where a lot of the problems came from. But you know what I mean? The air, the blow of life, the, you know.
I wish that someone like that had been there. Or for all I know, someone could have done it, but they just, again, the vibe was wrong that I was providing, you know.
That's unfair. That makes me so mad because that wasn't your vibe. Your vibe was I'm choking on a foreign object that won't be digested by my body.
Yeah, that's not
a vibe.
You know what that is? That's a vibe being imposed on you, and that's not right.
Yeah,
you don't need to identify with that vibe thing, and you know there are bad people for saying that to you.
Yeah, they had a dangerous party. You know, I've changed so much since then because that was God 30 years ago. But I could have been litigious. I could have said, "Excuse me, I inhaled something at your party." So that's what I've learned, that I could sue more.
You would have been well within your rights to bankrupt every person at that party, hosts and guests included. Because every person that watched you without lending a hand, they're guilty by association in my eyes. And you know what? I don't know a lot about the justice system. Certainly had my scrapes with it, but I don't understand how it works.
Here's what I know. I know in the criminal justice system that sexually based offenses are considered especially heinous. Yes. And in New York City, the dedicated detectives who investigate these vicious felonies are members of an elite squad known as the Special Victims Unit. I also know that Pat watches a lot of JAG. So if anybody's going to know what's going on, which, by the way, what does JAG stand for? It's a thing, too. It's an acronym. Right?
Jurist, justice, attorney, justice advocate.
Justice all.
Do they never say it in JAG? No. They don't ever say it?
I don't think so. I really think it's inside baseball at this point.
And I think it's more, if I'm not mistaken, and don't let me educate you on a show you love, by all means interrupt and tell me.
I don't like it.
Tell me to shut my mouth. But I think they use JAG as more of an insult in that show where they'll be like, JAG!
Oh, like JAG off.
JAG! Or like, you got jagged. Or this guy's coming in to jag. He's got a jag and like, you know, jag you. Like,
is it a verb?
I think it could be anything. I think it's what you make of it. If I could be wrong. Again, I'm not the expert.
Yeah. Well, again, like looking in a mirror. I can't tell you how many times a day I'm like, well, I'm not an expert. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know what? There are a couple things you are an expert in. Being a great friend. You're an expert in being a great aunt. You're an expert. You know what you could do? I will tell you this. You can make a book club fun. You make my life so much better. So you're an expert in making my life better.
I will take it. That's very nice. Doug, this is the energy. You know, you talk about it. It seemed like a variety show. Well, it's Mags is steering the ship and I'm, you know, holding on for dear life behind it in a fun way, but she knows what she's doing and, you know, building people up. It's just who she is. And the reality is you're just like that because you're lifting all these men who are, I mean, some of
dead
them
weight.
Very ill. Yeah, dead weight.
Yeah, dead weight.
And criminally something, I'm sure. And a lot of those guys were wearing those shirts that are flannel, but they have a hood.
Yes.
Like a sweatshirt hoodie attached to it.
Yes, yes, yeah. For a group of men that abhor going to the mall, they got a lot of different colors of shirts. It's really, and they modify them. They're cutting them up. I'm like, you guys are just like a theater guild. You don't know it. You're not ready to talk about it. But the way you're putting on these costumes, isn't everything a bit of a costume? Isn't the role of an uncle a bit of a costume that you have to wear? Like, what are we even doing there? They're cutting their shirts. They're putting hoods on flannels. They're putting pockets on sweatshirts. They're putting shirts on with colleges they never attended. I can bet my life on it. There's 0% chance there's a single college degree in that entire room. But I like it. I just wish they would own it more. You know, I feel like it would set a lot of them free to just embrace the fashion.
this is, and I was going to say, I hate to bring up RuPaul again, but I don't. RuPaul says, you know, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. And that's true. These uncles, they do an uncle drag.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And if that makes me a drag king or a drag queen, that's fine by me. I, you know what? I wear it, I own it, and I accept it, and I'm ready for it.
I got pulled into Drag Kings after I saw an ad for it, and I should just be upfront. I lost a few $100s.
No, no, no. You're thinking of Draft Kings.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
And I had to pick a bunch of people who I wasn't familiar with. I don't know how I got pulled into that. The ad made it look so fun.
And that's a TV show?
Yeah.
That's a TV show you gamble on?
Yeah.
No, no, Pat, that's the one. No. That's the one it's like a fantasy football thing. But it's not a TV show, but you were watching an extended commercial for it that was airing a ton. So it wasn't a TV show. It was on the TV for a little bit.
It's a commercial. You bet on drag queens.
I would though. But, you know, because I love Drag Race. But this one's about fantasy football, I believe.
Oh,
or
sure.
You could bet on other sports, I'm sure. But it's for people who want to lose money.
I did it. And I didn't mean to. And I didn't know what it was. It's tedious this time in human history. And I wanted to be involved with something.
I get fooled by targeted ads once a day. At least once a day. To the point where I had to take the thumbprint off my phone. I was buying stuff without even really... I was thinking I'm gesturing approval, and here I am, thumbprint down. I check my bank statement, and let me tell you, the margins are thin every month. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that is ever going to open up his online bank account and go, whoosh, there's a cushion. No, it's always like, you know, $37.89 or -$1.45 or $5.77 or $8.22 or $1.36 or $2.40.
I think we get it.
Yeah, so it's always basically that, raise the thin margins. But here I am, I'm buying a shirt that says effing go nuts in a Dunkin' Donuts font, or I'm buying a shirt that's like, here's Winnie the Pooh reimagined in Game of Thrones clothes and artwork.
What? Who would do that? Who would put him in that danger? That's so dangerous. Oh my God, I hate that.
They'll make a t-shirt out of anything. Now, you got a sick, twisted idea, much like the people that are facilitating these perverts' artwork. Who's giving the canvases to a sexual predator? Who's giving oil paints to a child molester? Don't do it. Just if she's just 17, you know what I mean? Take the canvas away. Take the sketchbook away. And I don't mean to get angry, and I don't mean to shout, but aren't we contributing? I mean, if we're enabling these people to create and then we're also buying it, are we not also throwing some gas on the fire a little bit here? And
it
I'm not
like
saying
this is something you wish you had said to your dad.
And I wish I could, but we don't speak.
Is it because he's in a... Is he in jail or?
He's not in jail. He's in what they call a halfway home.
Oh, like a tent.
No.
No, it's like a living facility. It's when a man is
it's
no
after
longer,
you come out, right? Yeah, it's after you come out of jail.
When you're no longer dangerous or deemed a threat to society, but you're not quite ready to get back in with the other goldfish, they put you in a special bowl, and it's a halfway house where you can have a cell phone, but it can't be a smartphone, and you can have shoelaces back on your shoes, but they're going to be, you know, nothing flashy. And you live with a bunch of other guys, and you sleep on a cot or maybe a college twin bed. And there's one TV, from what I hear, it's nice. He won't speak to me. We haven't talked in years, and it's okay. I think in a lot of ways he blames me for his problems. Maybe I wasn't supportive enough of the art. Maybe I, in some way, facilitated the fire. I don't think I did, but I was just going to ask,
does he think you started the fire? We didn't start the fire.
That's a song I'll never understand. There's too much. He should have made it different songs. There's way too much. He's cramming it in. I'm like, excuse me, you Billy Joel.
Yeah, I would prefer if the song was just like a singular thought and a break. So if it was just like Berlin.
Yeah, give me time to digest that.
Yeah.
Give me a minute here.
Tyrannosaurus Rex. Yeah,
I do love the part that you just mentioned, because I love what the way he says it when he's like Dylan Berlin, Bay of Pigs invasion.
Yes,
Lawrence of Arabia, British Beatlemania. I love it.
That's six or seven songs. That's a whole album.
Yeah,
it's
100 songs in one song, and I don't like it. I don't like it. I like the songs. I like She's Got Away.
Yeah,
is Billy Joel a problem? I feel like he crashed his car into a house.
That sounds like when you say She's Got Away, it makes makes me sound like, ugh, she's got a way and, you know, she's so young. She's got that one way.
I feel like I'm going to not let this one happen for Billy Joel because I love him. Because I don't, I think he's a good guy. I think She's Got a Way is about a consensual adult relationship and he just loves the way the woman was.
What about Uptown Girl? What is that? Is Uptown Christy where her Brinkley. School is? Is that where her school is? Uptown?
No.
Is that where she goes to junior high?
Oh, how about this? Only the good die young. Maybe he's condemning young people. Maybe he doesn't relate to young people.
Bottle of red.
Which is it? The two of you can't have it both ways. He's either can't relate to young people or he wants to be with them. It can't be both.
Piano Man. Man implies adult. Who knows with Billy? I feel like maybe he had a drinking problem, but that's not enough to cancel a person. If we're canceling people with drinking problems, I got some bad news for you. This podcast just got one person lighter.
Oh, too. It's very slippery over here.
Yeah, you're doing better ever since we started doing those riddles before you could drink your white wine. We're having a blast with it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I'll say is that, you know, everybody's got their thing, right? We've all got our things. Mm-hmm. And that makes us human. So I certainly don't want to cancel anybody. But I just also don't want to take down Billy Joel because I think he's an all right guy.
Now that I'm thinking back to the discography of Billy Joel, I feel like a lot of his songs, he's very clear about the fact that if he's singing about a younger girl, he is also young in this song. You know, like he's like, this song's from me as a 15-year-old and the other girl is 15, but I am only from the perspective of a 15-year-old in this song. And that's not an exact song. So don't go Googling the lyrics if you listen to this.
Well, no, but I think you were doing Brenda and Eddie with the Populist Daddy.
Yes.
Yeah, he was talking about Brenda and Eddie.
Right. So I think. I think Billy did his due diligence to make it very clear he's not a pervert. He's not a creep. I think, you know, I mean, is he perfect? I doubt it. Who is? But I think Billy falls on the right side of the history on this one.
I hope so, because I want to sing along again in cars someday. I want to be able to just sing along, just sing out and not have to be thinking all the time. It's exhausting.
You know what's funny is that one of my favorite moments of us singing in a car was when we were driving around and that song by NXS came on, which is sad because, you know, he died from autoerotic asphyxiation. But this was one of the best moments of my life. This is a very true story. So we were driving and I was behind the wheel naturally. And Pat, it was a beautiful summer day. And that song, Never Tear Us Apart, by NXS came on, and Pat was leaning out the window singing it to strangers. We had the music turned up so loud, and it was one of the most joyful days of my whole entire life. And I'd love to get back to that again, because you know when you sing in a song and you sing into a complete stranger, I was standing, you were there, two worlds collided. And they will never tear us apart. And you just kind of watch the person in real time react to this woman using full arm gestures, just singing it out the window of a car. Oh, my God. It's magic.
It's time to lock eyes with strangers and sing to them. It's time. We're ready. Let's make the world a better place. Let's make some eye contact and let's sing to them. And you know what? Let's hope they sing back.
Dougie, if you could sing a song to a stranger, any song, what would it be?
Ooh, I would say Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol. It's a very haunting song. I don't really understand the meaning of, but it's really easy. Your eyes without a face.
Oh.
Without a face.
Douglas, is that in reference to, because we talked about this recently, that ape who took the face off that lady?
Oh, I don't know.
Because she still had eyes in there. I mean, they were deep. They had been recessed, but you know, she didn't have a face.
I've never been good at digging too deep into lyrics because I find I get upset when they're not about what they say they are. If the song is not about, like you were saying, Mr. Bojangles is about drugs. And I'm thinking, here I am taking it face value, kind of a creepy vibe with the song. And, you know, and it's about drugs and I'm upset. This is what happens when I peel layers back. The onion starts to stink a little more. I don't know if the timeline matches up with a girl's face getting ripped off by an ape.
I think that's post Eyes Without a Face. I think, God, what if that monkey heard it and it was like his muse?
It got inspired. Wow, that's the art that moved the monkey to rip the face off. So this monkey's just going through life, eating bananas, leaping around trees, picking ants off of his back. And then all of a sudden he hears that song and he goes, I got to take a face today.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point because the monkey wasn't doing any of that because it was living like in someone's condo. And maybe this also points to that, you know, that saying, the devil's in your hands. When your hands aren't moving, the devil gets in there. And if
which
this
is almost verbatim, that's almost verbatim of that quote.
If that monkey had ticks or fleas, maybe they would be less focused on mangling a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What?
Knit. That's what knit.
Or was knitting.
Means.
Yeah. Or if they'd been knitting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that would keep the hands very busy. I used to know how to do boondoggle bracelets, and I would make them and sell them to other people at camp. This is when I was a child. Not a lot of male bracelet makers back then, guys. So I was a bit of a trailblazer in that market. My sisters both made that much more acceptable for them to make the boondoggle bracelets. But then when little Dougie wanted to make a bracelet, you know, my father was very critical of it. My mother said, let him braid, god damn it, let him braid. And you know, that to me, you talk about seeds being planted of animosity. Sure, if I had been allowed to just boondoggle in peace, maybe a lot of the arguments I had with my old man wouldn't have happened.
Maybe you wouldn't have had to burn the house down.
I did not. Okay. I did not burn the house down.
I was trying to do like a gotcha, you know, like a gotcha. Yeah.
Well, I think you lost on a technicality, Pat, because he never said the whole house burned down. He said the wall. So next time you do it, try with the wall, with just the wall, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He heard us, so I'll wait for later.
Oh, yeah. 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 Slip it in later.
He heard that too. He heard that. I'll do it. I won't do it. Haha.
Good. Dougie, what is a boondoggle?
So a boondoggle is, you know, maybe it's a regional term, and I hope it doesn't mean anything worse than what I think it means. And it's, so there's these like plastic threads, almost like little thin ribbons of plastic. And you basically, you make, you know, you ever been to a gift shop and you've seen a keychain?
Yes.
The braided keychain.
There's more? Oh, okay.
The braided keychain. And you go, there's no way this costs $9.99. This is like 30 cents of plastic. That's what boondoggle is. And then you
can do that.
Well, you know, I could as a boy. I don't know if I can now, but you know, muscle memory. Maybe if I got some plastic and.
What if you got the materials and that was an activity for Cry Uncle? I think that is art. Wow. Art therapy.
Therapy.
You know, I gotta say the vitriol that would come out of their mouths in the first 5 minutes would make it hard. But if we weather that storm, I think by the time we get to the end of the meeting, that we'd have a lot of pretty braided bracelets and maybe some newfound artisans.
That's the thing that makes me mad about this whole gender thing, right? Why in the world is making whatever that boondoggle thing is an innately female? There's nothing innately female about it.
I agree. I think braiding is gender neutral. I will say, in complete fairness to my father, and boy, those words not get out of my mouth very much, the plastic I was working with, and this is, you've got to remember, this is a long time ago, was pink and purple. It was pink and purple plastic. And at that point, and not that it's right, those were colors that were considered girly colors. I mean, it's just,
they would have made you do it with all black, and that wouldn't have been as fun.
Right. Then I'm just basically making voids of nothingness to go around my wrist. And if I'm going to do that, why not go full goth, dye my hair black, paint my face white, put on eyeliner, get a bunch of rings and skulls, and just, you know, go sit down under a bridge somewhere and, you know, talk about how love is pain and death is eternal. And I'm not going to do that. I'm a people pleaser. I got to listen to upbeat music. It's got to be positive for me, because if I go dark, it gets very dark.
What are you listening to right now, Doug?
So my nephew, really hip guy, he loaded me up an iPod Touch for Christmas, and he loaded it up with tunes. So I've been getting down with some pretty current music. There's Halsey.
Yeah.
She sounds like a little squeaky chipmunk, but I believe is a full-grown woman. Then there's, who else am I listening to? Post Malone.
Yeah. Sunflower. Yeah, I like that one from Spider-Man, the Spider-Verse.
Yes. So now there's two that I get confused. There's Da Baby, and then there's Little Baby. So there's Da Baby and Little Baby, and I listen to Da Baby, and I listen to Little Baby, and I say, no thanks, baby. And then I put on a shuffle into Billy Joel, and I go back to the piano man. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's the three wise men. It's Bruce, it's Billy, and it's Rod Sterling.
Yeah.
Well, I think Rod Sterling did the Twilight Zone. I think Rod Stewart.
Oh, you're thinking of Alf.
Alf the puppet?
Is that, did I say that wrong? Alf? Because I'm not thinking of, I don't think I'm thinking of the puppet. This was a man who,
I'm thinking of Rod Stewart, the like Irish guy, the Irish singer who was like,
Barry Manilow.
Wake up, Maggie, yeah. I got something to say.
Oh,
to
no,
you.
That's a pervert song.
He's a pervert?
How old is Maggie May?
I think she's a grown-ass woman. He's about to leave, I think.
Oh, I thought it was wake up, it's school time.
Wake up, Maggie.
Hold on, I'm going to text my niece.
Wake up, Maggie. You've got a pop quiz today.
Wait a second. You might be right about that, because there is something about going back to... But here's where I wonder, though. Is he also a young man in this song? Like, see, I think the thing that we've been talking about is when you're singing... I recognize this girl is 15 or 16, and that's what I like about it because I'm a grown, sick man. That's bad. But when you're like, this is the song about me in high school and the girl I loved in high school, I think we got to give him a little bit of leash there, right? We got to give him a length of rope.
Wait a minute. I just had my niece text me the lyrics, and I think I got this all wrong.
Okay.
I think actually Maggie May is the pervert.
Oh,
finally,
because he says, I always thought it was it's late September and you really should be back at school. He says, I really should be back at school. And then he says, you led me away from home just to save you from being alone.
Wow.
You stole my heart. And that's what, and then he says, the morning sun when it's in your face really shows your age. And then later he says, all I needed was a friend and a guiding hand, but you turn into a lover and mother. What a lover, you wore me out. Oh my God, all you did was wreck my bed and in the morning kick me in the head. Oh, Maggie, I could have tried anymore. Oh my God, she's the pervert. She's the pervert.
Or counterpoint, is she really just living her best life?
It depends on which school.
It really does.
If he's saying I should go back to college, then she's all right.
What if he's in technical school because, you know, he's reinventing himself after 25 years in law? He went to technical school because he wanted to work with his hands more. Then he's like, oh, you look old. Well, guess what? So do you. And you know what? Go back to school. Enough.
So 25 years in law puts him in his 50s. And then you think he's like enrolled at DeVry.
For all we know. Again, this goes to Doug's point of just be real explicit about it.
Right.
I'm 15 and so are you. So this is all above board.
Is there an industry that we could create and maybe patent some sort of patent of a disclaimer before every song? And it's just maybe it's the movie guy's voice that's like, the following song will be about a 15-year-old boy singing to another 15-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. Or wow, that would be really progressive. 15-year-old boy to 15-year-old boy. Or just let us know at the beginning, this song might sound kind of freaky-deaky, but there's nothing wrong. There's no foul play here, all right? The perspectives and point of views are innocent.
I would love that. And I would love to hear the movie phones man's voice again.
Oh,
I miss that. I used to call, even when I wasn't going to go see a movie, I'd call.
Just to hear his voice.
Tell me everything. Oh God, I miss him. I wonder what, is he dead? Is he dead?
Oh.
Oh, you know, I want to say that about 15 years ago when VH1 was making all those I Love the shows, they had the movie phone guy on living. So that was 2004, 2005.
Oh my God, so much has happened since then.
Here's how my brain works. There was the 70s, there was the 80s, there was the 90s, and then all this time that has happened over the last 21 years, it all exists in one singular year to me. So basically, time froze in 1998 for me, really. That was the end. So something happened in 2005 feels like a week ago to me.
Absolutely. It's just one lump of time that, you know, hasn't really, I would say it hasn't been a profound experience this whole millennium.
Going through the motions.
Guys, what if I were to tell you that the name of the movie phone, the guy, his name is Russ Leatherman. I texted my niece. She's real quick today.
Big bopper energy on Russ Leatherman.
But he's also the guy who, remember when you used to have AOL? He's also the same guy that used to say, welcome, file's done, goodbye, and you've got mail.
I still have AOL and they changed the voice.
It's not Leatherman?
No, it's a woman.
Leatherman. You still got AOL?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I never changed. I'm not going to change horses mid-surf.
Do you still have to put in the discs from Blockbuster Video to get like a free hour of internet? Or how does that work? Are you just constantly firing discs into your computer still? Or
yes, I am. By the way, if this is an intervention, you can quit now because I'm at peace with my decision. I know people say, oh, AOL, you know, that shouldn't work anymore. How are you doing it? I don't know. You know, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Which reminds me, if anybody's got any questions or anything and they want us to answer, shoot us an email at thosewhowin@gmail.com.
Amen. You know, Doug, before this gets away from us, I do want to touch on, please do, you know, we'd love to hear about them. Take us to your happy place. Take us to your nieces and your nephews.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I am a very blessed uncle of three. I have a niece and two nephews, and they are, they're everything to me. You know, they really are. Sure, you know, we can malign the funcle, and, you know, we can talk about the sadness that comes with sending children away and the loneliness of knowing that none of them ever depend on you in a true, genuine way, the way they would a father or a mother. But I'd rather focus on the happy place, as you said. And that's that for various periods of these kids' lives, I have been the coolest person they know. You know, like it's fleeting like a shooting star. But there's about a 2-year chunk where I connect with one of these kids and they go, wow, that guy's got it all figured out. Now, unfortunately, they'll grow out of that and they'll, you know, start to parrot some of the things, the hurtful things their parents will say. I'm not allowed to ride in the car with you when your breath smells like that. Mom says shoeboxes aren't good Tupperware for food storage, things like that. You know, hurtful things that are just kind of like indictments of my personal life that I don't really appreciate. You don't have to buy action figures anymore. You're never going to be a stop motion puppeteer and make movies. We all know that you're just filling a hole with purchases that could be filled with meaningful relationships. And I'm like, where does an 11-year-old get off saying something like that? There's no way she memorized that. You know, she's just parroting. She's parroting the parenting. And I don't appreciate it.
That seems unfair to you. I mean, all valid points. No disrespect to the points made.
To be fair, I mean, I am tripping over action figures. I just can't get enough of them. You can see, you know, I'm a collector. But they're investment pieces. When they go up in value and when the market reaches its apex, I'm going to sell. I'm going to buy a nice gift for each one of my nephews and niece.
And, you know, that's progress, Doug, because, you know, if we just say, you know, your dad had this hobby of collecting this stuff and it was part of art, you have a hobby that is also very bad, but it's better.
Right.
You know, which is the toys that you have. And I know please don't blow up at me when I call them toys. I don't, figurines or whatever that is. But yeah, this is growth from man to man. And I just want to say, I see it. And I'm proud of you.
Thank you, Pat. That just is a point of contention. They are adult collectibles. They are known as adult collectibles. And again, you throw the word adult in front of someone, and it seems like you're buying it down in the red light district at midnight with a trench coat on and nothing on underneath. Adult collectible, what? Where is this toy even going? Well, let me tell you what. Adult collectible just means it was once made for a child. That child has now grown and has disappointed many and is re-owning this collectible, this toy, and we're rebranding. Just like I'm rebranding Funkle, just like we're all constantly evolving, the toy is now the adult collectible, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame in it. And yes, there is a niche market of action figures sculpted and molded by bad people, and I haven't dipped into that toe of the dark web. You know, that's my father's game. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to buy a Batman that was, you know, designed by Timothy McVeigh. May his soul be in hell.
Do you think some of this comes from, are you tapping into some of the anger you felt when you set that wall on fire?
Now, I did not set the wall on fire, but I appreciate the gotcha. A lot, you know, if you guys want to go into the investigation a little more, the fire was set into the shed. There was a shed that butted up against the back of our house, and there was a fire that started in the shed. The shed spread to the wall, and then the fire was basically extinguished. If I were to do it, O.J. Simpson style, write a book about how you did it, but didn't do it. If I would have did it, the shed was the perfect place to start because you know what was in there? My brother Robbie's trophies. So you take two birds out with one stone. You take his stupid trophies out. You take the perv wall out and they all go down. And then what happens? Everybody starts clean slate. You scorch the earth so the earth can grow again. That's all I'm saying. If I were to do it, a couple matches, bang, bang, onto the pennant for his varsity football team. That spreads all over the shed. The shed's gone. The wall's gone. If I did it. Not saying I did. Definitely didn't do it. Statute of limitations is up. If I did it, that's how it would have been done.
His varsity football team won a pennant?
Well, no, they get pennants that had the names on them. So I'm sorry. You know, like a decorative pennant. It's made of felt.
Yeah, it went up like a torch when you lit it?
Like a tinderbox if I did it. If I did it, it would have just gone up. Now, I have burned pennants before. I mean, I'm not going to say, like, let's put it this way. I've burned pennants for pleasure, but I didn't do it. I didn't do it that day. You know, I like to see how stuff burns. I like to see what it looks like. I like to see what color the flames are. That's just me. That's a hobby. That's a passion.
You know what actually ended up getting OJ in the end was his toys, his toy collection. Remember?
You're right.
Doug, I want to say this to you. You know, no truer words have been spoken about how I feel about my nieces and nephews than when you said, you know, that window of time when they don't actively mock you and they don't openly resent you being in their lives.
Yeah.
That is absolutely my reason for being on this earth. There was a time when, you know, they didn't take my keys and steal from me. And that was an amazing time. And I would like to start to wrap this up today by saying your nieces and nephews may think you're cool for a 2-year window, but I think you are effortlessly cool all the time. Again, having someone on the podcast who's an uncle, this is another one of the real good ones. So I just want to say thank you for being our friend and teaching us so much.
You're doing the work.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. And I do want to thank, you know, I want to say thank you again for taking my call that night that I had told you I'd gone over for dinner. And we were playing a board game afterwards. And my nephew Jimmy just started openly mocking me and my sister. She started laughing and she didn't tell him to stop. And it was the first time that she didn't discipline him. She just kind of joined in on the mocking. And then he started making the little L shape that people do with their fingers. Mm. They make an L. I guess that's from the Fortnites. And then and everybody was laughing and I was just upset and I called and you answered. And I just, that meant a lot to me. And I really appreciate the both of you for, you know, you started off as, just two special guests at my support group, but I really feel like you're my friends now, and I really appreciate that.
We are your friends. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you could look at us like two moms, you know, and you're our son, Austin. Your Austin is something you should admit to. Are you an Austinist?
Oh, I definitely admit to liking the sounds of that. Hmm. I definitely admit to liking the sounds of that.
See, he's clever. Well, it's a love fest. And who can believe that so many uncles brought all of us together?
And who can believe still that you were able to do a full split on stage unprepared, Pat?
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
It was amazing.
The doctor said, if you thought you couldn't have kids before, I've got news. It almost made it that I could. That's how bad it was. You know, a full circle. Yeah.
Did you split your chotch right in half?
You know, boy, it's a mystery. Isn't it a mystery, the female organ?
There's only one, and yes.
Yeah. It's stretched to a place where it's like, you know, when a balloon, you let the air out, you don't pop it.
Yeah, deflate.
He said, that's what I did.
You deflated.
Yeah, I stretched it to a place where it's no longer a balloon, and I don't know what you're going to do with it.
And we had no idea because you were all stage smiles. You were big old stage smile in that whole moment. We were like, I mean, to us, it just looked like a, you know, a Cirque du Soleil moment.
I really smile through a lot of things like a clown. I will wrap us up this week with our mantra. And this one is, as always, from a beautiful friend, Carol Doyle.
We got to get her on because there's a lot of, I think, on my end and on your end, we were talking about how, you know, Tim Conway was my guy, Harvey Korman was yours. And Carol let us know that hers was Lyle Waggoner. And we got to get her on to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm going to do the mantra. And then I would, you know what, I'll do it right now, actually. Before we do the mantra, I would like to give a shout out, actually, because we have some subscribers to this podcast. And
what?
I mean, hair blown all the way back. So Carol Doyle, who, you know, I would call her a doormat if she wasn't so lovely because she does so much for us. And then we have two new supporters. We have Channing Nip, who is just a delight. And we want to say thank you to Channing and Erica Reed. Erica Reed is also a subscriber, and we want to say thank you.
Then we have four. Michael Sanfilippo.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, so we have four?
We have four. And I would say, you know, that's plenty, but why do I keep saying things like that? So if you'd like to subscribe, you can. I don't know. Look, I'm just happy you're listening. That's the God's truth.
That is the God's truth. We are, and we say this with love, a small audience podcast. We got 15 strong. And you know what? That's good numbers. That's almost a third of our listeners are sponsored us. I think that's fantastic. And just, you know, while we're giving shout outs, Michael Sanfilippo and Allison, you know, they text me. You know what they did, Pat? They texted right after the break when the internet went out. They were like, we wanted to check on you. We thought about checking on you. We just assumed because of the holidays you were taking time off. So there were a few people, you know, Judith always, Carrie always, very supportive, letting us know that they would have checked on us if they hadn't believed we were taking a break for the holidays.
And that's so nice enough. What am I, Queen of Sheba? So at any rate, thank you so much because it means a lot to Megs. And I really, it's really
I'll wonderful. Finish. I'll do it. I'll finish it. I can't. We love you guys so much. We can't. Okay, I'm done.
All right. The mantra for this week is, ants on a log sounds like a recipe for an ambulance ride, but peanut butter is good. So, a truth bomb from Carol coming in hot.
Wow. Are you allergic? Are you allergic to the peanut butter?
No, it's one of my biggest vices. Wait, read. Please read this again. Peanut butter really is one of my biggest vices. Okay, wait, read it again.
All right. Please. Yeah, maybe I was... ants on a log sounds like a recipe for an ambulance ride, but peanut butter is good. Now, I think that she might be referencing the snack. You know when you have raisins...
And I never have raisins, and you know that about me. I never have raisins.
Well, some people
hate raisins.
Sometimes people have raisins, and they have, because that would just be a log, Megs. So this is ants on a log. Oh, wait a second. What does this mean?
We are the raisins?
Yeah, we're the raisins. Oh, I think I know what she's talking about because I'm familiar with Carol. You ever see that thing when people are on a log and it's supposed to be fun, but the log starts going?
Log roll.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think that is something. I think she's putting two things together, that activity and the snack. And I do need to check on her.
All right, read it one more time because now I want to listen to it with that as the lens.
Okay. Think about it. Maybe close your eyes. Ants on a log sounds like a recipe for an ambulance ride, but peanut butter is good. Maybe I was putting the emphasis on the wrong part, you know?
Yeah, that definitely clarified it for me once you really punched peanut butter.
Hey, wait, do it again, but put the emphasis on something totally different. I just want to see what that does.
Ants on a log sounds like a recipe for an ambulance ride, but peanut butter is good. Does that change it again?
It definitely, yeah. It's like a whole different sentence every time you read it.
That one.
Ooh-wee. We're too blessed, you know, to really have her. She's a gift. Well, take that one.
So
it's always one to grow on, Doug. And if you think of any new meetings, please text us. I just want to say
really
again.
Do text us if please. You could kind of make heads and tails of that one. Because I'm going to be honest, that's one of those thinkers that I'm going to be thinking about till we hear the next one.
Yeah. But Doug, what an amazing gift to talk to you today. And, you know, we love you very much.
I love you guys too. Thanks so much for having me on. I feel like I got a lot out there. I got a lot out of my system. I feel like I can take on the rest of the day now.
You know, a lot of times people come into our lives and we don't know why immediately. And at first I thought the reason you came into our life was so that I would finally get to do what I've always wanted to do, which is a full version of the Cell Block Tango in front of an audience of only men. But now, after knowing you, after really getting to know who you are in your heart, I really believe that we came into each other's lives so that we could make each other better aunts and uncles. And I think you're fantastic. I think you're tremendous. Come back and talk to us whenever you want. You know,
we'd love to have you back down at the Cry Uncle. And just with Cry Uncle Industries. We don't call it ministries. Cry Uncle Industries. Definitely a safer acronym for sure. And you know what? It lights up the merch a little better. I don't know why we have merch. We haven't sold a lick.
If you're looking for a place to sell, I got Poncho Villa. Poncho Villa is a place we're trying to get off the ground. We got a couple. Anyways, we'll talk about it offline. You are a gift. So thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh God. Anytime, Dougie. Love you, Pat. I love you so much.
I love you, Megs. All right.
Well, hello. Thank you for listening to Those Who Aren't, a Baby Makers podcast starring Colleen Doyle as your Aunt Pat and Dana Curcioli as your Auntie Mags. If you liked this podcast, subscribe, rate, and review us. Our Uncle Doug is the treasure that is Tommy Bechtold. Tommy is a comedian living in L.A. He is currently contributing to the new Rockstars YouTube channel and recently moved out of his mom's house. You can follow Tommy on all platforms at Tommy Bechtold. Our theme song was performed by The Q's, and you can follow them at The Q's Music on Instagram. Follow Those Who Aren't on Instagram and Twitter. And if you have any questions for the ants, email us at thosewhoant@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Stay healthy, wear a mask, and for God's sakes, call your aunt.